shore where the mountains meet the sea, in a clapboard shack by a broken down tree.
There's a light in the window, two salty gals inside.
I'm not sure if they're witches, but you know that's implied.
Got the storytelling, ego swelling,
pillow talking, moonlight walking, sea hag.
Welcome to the Sea Hags Podcast. My name is Chris Jeppa.
I'm Katie Norgren. With us this week is, we didn't actually check and see if you wanted to have your last name in this or not.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Alana Turner is here with us today.
Yay!
Yay!
How are you, Alana?
I'm good.
You look very dapper today.
Don't I?
You do.
Thank you.
You have a nice little collar, a good overshirt.
It's very quite professional.
Well, yeah, I just haven't done laundry, and sometimes you look in your closet and you're like, what can I wear that's clean?
Only business clothes.
I haven't had a professional job in 20 years. I was just sitting in the back of my closet.
40
years. Yeah, it was dusty, so.
You look great.
Thank you.
No Ooh. One will know.
That's right.
For all they know, you're wearing like a onesie right now.
Yeah, underneath.
You're wearing your furry fursuit because you're a furry. She's not really a furry.
Don't give away all my secrets.
It's been so cold lately, and I've basically just been wearing pajamas to work again. Like, fuzzy leggings underneath my jeans, and, like, my literal pajama top that's still warm from sleep underneath my clothes.
That's my favorite thing about winter.
Well, because it's chilly, you get all toasty.
Yeah, and then you wake up, and you're like, I worked so hard to make these clothes warm all night. Why would I take them off now?
That's what a stupid person does.
Yeah. I've mastered life now.
Have you ever done the thing where you, like, microwave your socks or underwear?
No!
What? Katie, you haven't lived till you
put them in the dryer.
Panties.
Maybe not the microwave. Those things go on my feet. I'm going to make a microwave feet scented.
Yeah, you don't put, like, your dirty ones in.
Okay,
put, like,
yeah, no, fair enough, yeah. Fair enough.
God.
No, I would never...
I'm not an animal.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, sometimes.
I'm a soft, squishy animal.
No, I can't say I've ever, but now I'm gonna.
Yeah.
I often will blast a hair dryer into, like, down my top.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Keep me warm.
Yeah.
Down my pants.
I've been known to, I did that once when my wife was, because she has to sleep in an extra hour and a half after I get up for work.
Jerk.
But one day it was very cold in our bedroom because I like it to be freezing in there. And she's like, I'm so cold. So I took my hair dryer, plugged it in, and I just blew hot air through the bottom of the sheets and blankets. I just made it a hot pocket for her.
I've actually used Tiger Balm to stay warm in the winter. Just, I mean, it's a really good way. It's a true story. I just, like, rub it in places that need a little extra heat.
Oh, my goodness.
You're like, ooh, roasty toasty.
It's delightful.
It smells great.
Pay electrical bills.
Nope, can't.
Nope, I'm a student. Won't do it.
Won't. Refuse.
I lived in an apartment building with very, very thin windows that would just, oh, man, it was so cold all the time in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would wear, like, my fleecy pajamas, my moon boots, which are, like, down slippers,
yeah.
And a Snuggie, and then a hot water bottle all the time.
That's adorable.
Sounds delightful.
It was cute as fuck. I was
so
all bundly.
It hasn't gotten super cold in my apartment yet, which is weird, because it's always cold in there. Oh. It's very windowy.
You're lucky.
But, yeah, I guess a lot of people beneath us are cranking the heat, so it just kind of is coming up through the floor a little bit.
Oh.
So that's pretty cool for us
mm-hmm.
up there. Pretty much just use an oil heater all the time instead of using the baseboards because that seems they're inefficient.
Okay, don't worry. What's an oil heater?
It's a
like that radiator thing that you plug in and then it's hot.
Yeah, I don't know how to explain
it's full
it.
Of oil.
It's not a forced air heater.
Those are full of oil?
Yeah. What did you think was in them? Blood?
Yeah, well, I mean, I never thought about it, to be honest.
Yeah, it looks like one of those old school radiators on wheels, so it's really, you can put it anywhere.
I've definitely seen them. Just thought they were just like electrical
mm-hmm.
coils or something. Cool.
We're staying warm is what the thesis of this conversation is.
Yeah, I have a space heater under my desk now. It's really great.
Just point it right at your business.
Yeah, just in my tootsies. Yes. They get really cold.
Yeah, what did you think I meant by business?
Earlobes. Just earlobes.
Yeah.
So your toes.
Yeah. I don't know. Whatever.
Whatever.
I work above a parking garage. It gets very chilly on my floors.
Yikes.
So, yeah, just blasting a space heater all day, every day, basically.
Yeah.
And I love it.
That's good.
My office is so snuggly.
We won't freeze to death this winter, which is good.
Hey, we have plans.
Tiger Balm.
Sounds like we're prepared.
I'm totally going to do that. My feet are actually cold now. I should put Tiger Balm on them immediately.
Yeah. There's a nice tingling sensation, too.
Ooh.
Just be careful where it goes.
Mm.
Just
think of it like chopping peppers. You know, you just got to be real smart about that.
I certainly did get jalapeno in a spot one time. It was not pleasant.
What spot?
You know, that
the
one.
The Tootsies.
Tootsies.
Oh, Tootsies.
The business.
Right, the business.
Call back.
All important Tootsies.
A joke is always great if you announce what kind of joke it is.
Oh, and then explain it. Yeah. That's my favorite part.
Great.
That's the best bit.
I got some in my larynx.
Your bottom larynx.
Ooh.
The front larynx.
No. Your front larynx. Gross.
Oh my God.
I literally was like, oh, you mean the... You mean your anterior larynx?
Oh my God.
I'm sorry.
So, Alana is... Oh, is it, sorry, is it Alana or Alana?
Oh, it's Alana. Alana. Unless you're my Nana.
Unless you're my... Your Nana?
Yeah. She says Alana.
You are an in-training speech language pathologist.
Yeah, I like in-training.
In-training. You're a...
I'm in school still.
You're in school. Yeah. You're being trained. You're being put through your paces.
Oh, God. So many paces.
You have to run up a giant model of the human lungs every morning. Oh. Like they were the steps that Rocky runs up or something.
Full of mucus.
Full of mucus.
I feel like I'm swimming in it. Yeah.
Does everybody get sick in your program really often or...
No.
I would think that going into people's mouths frequently.
Ew, yeah. So, like, do you go into somebody's mouth and, like, look at all their business?
Do you
and then
shrink
basically...
down, like, magic school bus style? And
yeah,
then go
how do
inside
I shrink the
throat?
Kids' larynx version? No, well, some of us...
Magic school bus.
Some of us have to go to preschools and into schools, and I think those people have been getting sick.
Kids sneeze into your open mouth a lot.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I like to say that I'm smarter than that. I tend to, if a kid starts coughing, I won't just like keep my face in front of their
just,
face.
Just like open your mouth like,
Yeah, be like, I take you germs. No.
I take you germs to be my lawfully wedded cred.
I would love a day off, but I don't want it to be a sick day off.
No, yeah, that would be, definitely not.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, working with kids is going to be the grossest, probably.
Yeah, but they're so cute, though.
They are.
Some of them.
Some of them. Some kids fucking ugly. It's not their fault.
Oh, I like the ugly ones the best.
They're the like a little tiny child with giant glasses would be so cute, right?
Aww.
Like just a little nerd.
I've never seen a kid that I didn't think was cute. I don't think.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen an ugly kid until they behaved. And then I might have thought they were ugly after.
Maybe on the inside.
Yeah, just fair. Ugly on the inside.
That's fair.
No, all kids, weird looking or not, are cute because they're small.
Oh, they're so tiny. They're like little humans.
They're just like that.
Yeah.
It's almost as if.
It's just, right there.
So what made you go into this as a career path?
Yeah, the wild ride I went down. I started in theater and in acting.
Of cows.
Of cows. And
of
tell by my
acting.
By my excellent resonant voice.
Mm.
And I loved it. I had such a great time. But I went to a theater school. First, I went to UVic, did a BFA. And then I went to a theater school here in Vancouver. And we had classes in speech and voice. And I loved them so much.
Oh, cool. To, like, learn how to, like, project to the back of the room.
Yeah. And
I'm very talented.
I was mesmerized just that. I don't know if you caught that. I was like, well, do it again. Project and be able to speak eloquently and without strain. And
so that you can perform every single night in a run of a whatever.
Right.
Sibilance and plosives.
That's
and
what
all
I forgot about.
Things.
Plosives.
Plosives.
Yes.
What I forgot about acting or like being in a play in general, because I keep signing up to be in plays and then I'm like, oh, right, the performance is like every day. Ugh.
Yuck.
And then I quit. And then I quit every time.
Hard work made us quit.
Yeah. Well, also, I mean, theater is just, it's so late at night. And I like to go to bed at a reasonable hour.
So. I like going to bed so much. I would do it right now if I could.
Yeah, we could. There's a couch. Right
we could.
There.
We could just have like a
the
snuggly
couch pulls
podcast.
Out into a bed.
Oh my God.
Just all three of us in a bed. Just have a little bedcast.
Podcast, bedcast.
We did it. Well, our last one was a sleepover podcast. Oh. It feels like that's getting really on brand now.
Oh,
it's just like we're sleepy. We're in pajamas. We're drunk.
We have Tiger Bomb in places it shouldn't be.
That's what a party is, if I'm not mistaken. Oh, quick follow up to our podcast that will be coming out tomorrow or the next day or something. I got so drunk during our podcast.
What?
Because we were at my parents' place out in Cloverdale because they were away. They're back now. So don't go and steal their house, I guess, anybody, because they're there now.
Steal their house like Carmen Sandiego.
Yes, like Carmen Sandiego steals, you know, the pyramids and whatnot.
True to life, really.
So we had a lot of wine while we were doing the podcast, and then we're like, let's have another one, and then we had the other bottle of wine, and then I woke up at 5 in the morning and threw up for the first time in 5 years.
Oh, no.
I haven't vomited, so I broke the seal. That's fine.
The puking seal?
The puking seal.
The seventh seal of the apocalypse. Seventh seal of
the apocalypse. The trumpets will blare. The four horsemen are coming.
I mean, you could have blamed it on like a stomach bug.
No, it was entirely that I drank too much, but and I also didn't have enough to eat. Like, I normally would eat a ton if I was drinking that much, but I just had, you know, just chicken with my bare hands and Girl. Some kale salad.
Yeah, I know. That's not enough to soak up all of the Chardonnay we had as fancy lady.
I should have eaten half a loaf of sourdough or something.
Plus kale is like super scratchy on your intestines, so I can just imagine your poor body.
It was like, bleh.
It was like, no more. No. Now it's in crevices that I was just created by kale.
Kale crevices. Yeah. I think, yeah, that's some good biology there.
Yeah, thank you.
Solid. Very solid.
Studied
Please
biology.
Please do throat yeah. surgery on yeah. me now. Oh, here's your problem. Too much kale.
Yeah. Ooh, I see you've had kale recently.
So, you were doing speech stuff?
Oh, right, yeah, right.
Good segue, Jeff.
My sweet story.
Way to get back on track, babe.
I don't remember. Oh, right, I was telling you, okay,
acting.
Yeah. Right, I did that. Acting. I had this, as acting teacher who didn't like me very much, fair enough, didn't like her either. It was a mutual feeling. And my voice teacher would say stuff like, well, why don't they see the performer that I see in voice? You're so interested in this. And I was like, yeah, I am. And then I left that program, and then I was working, and I got vocal notes, which is dun-dun-dun, not that big of a deal. Yeah. But it felt like it at the time, and I lost my voice for just like a little bit of time, but long enough that I realized just how much I depend on it and how much it's connected to your identity.
Got to protect your instrument.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then literally the moneymaker for actors and singers and all of them. And then I had to go see a speech pathologist to get over my vocal notes. And I was like, this is your job? I want to do this. And she was like, well, it's a master's of science. And
what a jerk.
Very difficult. She's lovely. She's lovely.
What a pretentious asshole.
Not at all.
Just in the retelling, we're fucking her over a bit.
Well, I set that up, didn't I? She's actually a lovely lady. But I mean, I was this flaky actor who came in like, I'm going to be a scientist. So in her defense.
I've got a science jacket.
Yeah. Look at me.
Katie, it's a lab coat. God damn it. We thought we learned this by now.
It's a jumpsuit from Home Depot. You're not a scientist. You're a mechanic, if anything.
Yeah. A vocal mechanic.
Oh, that's a good one. I like that. Yeah, so then I pursued it and showed her. Because I got in the program.
Great.
So,
yeah. That's going well?
Yeah. I love it.
You're becoming a master of science.
That's funny.
That is funny.
The other day in class, we were, oh my God, this is so stupid. We were working on, like, curriculum for kids and, like, looking at how we can incorporate the classroom curriculum and some of their speech and language goals. And we were talking about it, and I put up my hand, and I was like, well, like, my problem with doing this activity is, like, I'm not a scientist. Like, I don't really understand all this air gases and, like, all the things that are in air. I'm not a scientist. And they all turned to me. They're like, we're all getting a master's of science. And I was like,
I don't know what your fancy-dancy science is all about with your beakers and your Bunsen burners.
Like, what do you mean there's different things in air? Air is just there.
It's just there. Like, God put it there.
Jeez, and I know better. I just had, like, a moment of, like, no, I don't believe
in your
science.
So funny. Oh my goodness.
That sounds like someone who's been vaccinated.
Yeah. Oh.
Oh God.
Burn-a-nated.
Oh dear. So yeah, you feel tremendously underqualified in the science part, but maybe not the master part.
Yeah, mm-hmm. No, I've definitely mastered many things in
cool.
my life.
Good.
And so do you do like the actual like physical stuff in terms of like surgery and repair?
No. That's a doctor.
So, yeah. So you're doing like more like therapeutic stuff.
Yeah, doctors
like
look at...
I have no idea.
I know, nobody knows what a speech pathologist is.
Well,
it's
that's
okay.
what we're trying to change that
oh,
with
look
this
at that.
Podcast.
Everyone's going to be like, I heard the word scientist and shut it off.
That's not what makes them shut it off, trust me.
It's the tiger bomb.
They've all gone to experiment and now they're in the ER.
Where do I find that tiger bomb? Where
I put it
you?
On my beehole and things went south.
I blame them sea hags.
Them nasty sea hags.
You're gonna be in court soon.
Oh no,
don't do it. Disclaimer.
Don't put tiger bomb on your crevices.
I say do it, and I'm a scientist, so you have to listen to me.
No! Alana!
That's kind of the best part about having eventual master's of science is I could probably just say some sweet statistics and then Just be like, but I'm a scientist, so I can say that. Just kidding, I wouldn't do that.
Use your power for good.
Not evil. Yeah.
Well.
So, what does it take to get over vocal nodes? Like, what just overuse causes them, I'm assuming? Or strain?
Yeah, lots of stuff can cause them. Women tend to be a little bit more susceptible because we have
like thinner... vocal fry.
I actually really like vocal fry.
So do I.
I think it sounds really cool.
Talked about it.
Really,
it feels
I like
good
it.
To do.
Honestly.
It does. I hate it.
I know.
It feels good though.
Yeah, it does.
I don't like hearing it, but I like doing it.
It's so great. You know what? I've seen it on the stroboscopy before.
Oh my god, is that like the camera?
Stroboscopy. It's my favorite kind of pasta.
You did an amazing hand motion that I wish people could see. I'd like to gift that.
My vocal fold hand motion.
That's beautiful. Thank you. Could watch that all day. It's like a lava lamp.
It's like a sea anemone.
It's because it's how I describe it to people when they're in the office. And I
have such delicate, beautiful hands.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes, thank you. I do.
I've been told that before, actually. It's one of my own makeup.
I'm also a hand model and a scientist.
Hand model and a scientist.
Oh, my goodness.
That's a great career.
How am I single?
Probably because of all the Tiger Bomb.
I don't need a man. I got Tiger Bomb.
This episode brought to you by Tiger Bomb.
I really should buy shares of Tiger Bomb.
I said one of the local you should. One of the local comics in town had posted on Facebook today that she oversaw someone on the bus putting a woman putting Tiger Bomb on like it was perfume.
Probably one of my converts. I bet.
One of your followers.
Yes, the cult of Tiger Bomb.
So you got the vocal nodes from just like overdoing it, or?
Yeah, it was, well, I was acting in a show. And
I'm sorry,
I was,
say it right.
I was acting in a show.
Much better.
Thank you.
No
way. And I was also, because acting is not a career for a lot of people to live in Vancouver with, because
no shit.
It doesn't pay, and it's not sustainable. Sorry, my actor friends, if you're listening, which you're not, because you're probably at your Joe job right now, because you have to have one to live in Vancouver.
What is a Joe job?
It's a day job.
Oh, day job. Like a job that actually gives you money.
Oh.
It's just, yeah. Like a steady job. Income Joe job. It's, you don't care about it.
I hadn't heard it before, but I used context clues.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, nice one. Who's
the scientist now?
Yeah, bitches.
Yeah, wordology over here.
I'm a wordologist.
Yeah. And I can say
believe
that.
That's a philologist, if I'm not mistaken.
A philologist?
No, I'm full of shit.
Oh!
That's a real thing, but I forgot what it actually means.
Are we allowed to swear?
Oh, yes. Oh,
yeah. I probably already have, just in my mind, I'm like, I'm
you
so
are 100% allowed to swear. You can say anything you want.
Fucking great.
Amazing.
Felt weird, but I liked it.
Balls.
Chris!
She couldn't say vagina earlier. But,
front larynx. They don't really look that much like vaginas, but everything looks like a dick, so why can't everything look like a vagina?
I mean, you could find it in the world.
Equal opportunity.
Yeah, that's the true meaning of equality.
The true.
I thought you were going to say Christmas.
And Christmas.
The true meaning of Christmas, everything looks like a vagina.
That would be great. That would be a fun
sleigh
name.
Bells ring, they're vaginas. There's a sleigh, also a vagina.
Walking in a vagina wonderland. Ooh.
In the meadow, we can build a snowman. It'll put look- a big vagina on its front. Oh my god.
No, so I hate you all.
You're not going to contribute to our beautiful song?
No.
Okay, fine. All sorry.
Right. Anyway,
you got the vocal notes.
I digress.
From acting.
Because acting is not a career, and...
Oh yeah, right. That was where I was going with that. I had my Joe job was a swim instructor, which is like the second worst thing you can do to your voice over just screaming all day long. And so I was using my voice so much, and it was just the quality kept getting worse and worse. And mm-hmm. I went to go see the ENT, and he scoped, and he was like, you have vocal nodes. And then I went to go see Sheila. I said her name.
Name check.
Yeah. Whoop.
I think a first name's probably fine.
She's lovely and great. Yeah.
She wasn't at all mean about science.
No. I told her about that before. I was like, you told me you made me feel like I couldn't be a scientist.
So then I became a scientist.
She's a brilliant woman. Anyway, yeah, so it's ENTs and doctors, they worry about structure.
Mm-hmm.
So they have the right to
diagnose.
They have the right to diagnose. They have the qualifications and the training to diagnose. And speech pathologists work on function when it comes to voice. Okay. But speech pathologists do so much more than just voice. I just happen to only like voice.
Mm-hmm.
And I let everybody at my school and program know that all the time whenever we're talking about language. I'm like, I like voice. God, this isn't relevant to my career.
They're like, shut up, we're trying to learn.
Do you specialize in one or the other or something? Like the linguistic acquisition or whatever, I guess would be the other component?
It's such a huge, huge field. So it's communication disorders in general. So speech and language, and also a little side part that we do, but is actually pretty big if you're working in the hospitals, is swallowing.
Oh.
Yeah, most people don't know that, but
I thought it was going to be like bikini car washes or something like that.
Well, yeah, weekends. That's our JoJo.
I guess that would be especially working with like elderly patients and stuff like that, or people who are paralyzed or something.
Yeah, or if they've had a stroke.
Relearning how to do stuff.
Yeah, so exactly. There's lots of different things that can interfere with speech and language. It can be developmental. You can have something that you're born with. You can acquire a brain injury. What?
It's your plan? Maybe it's Maybelline.
Oh my god.
Sorry.
I thought you said that's my plan. And I was like,
To be born with a problem.
A little
the next time around I'm going through and I'm gonna make sure that I got like a real good ass stutter or something.
Aw, stutter. I love that.
Aw.
Yeah. We work with fluency.
Do you have a favorite speech impediment?
Ooh, don't I? Yeah. I do. Speech impediment? Not favorite for the person, because it would be horrible to have a communication disorder, but for me, I find it fascinating. Dysarthrias are really interesting.
What's dysarthria?
Oh, gosh.
I can't tell you.
It's a secret. No, it's motor speech disorders. So it can be caused by a whole bunch of different neurological things, like Parkinson's.
Okay.
Certain aspects of their speech is dysarthric.
What does it mean?
Dysarthric, just there's a problem with the motor planning.
Huh.
Yeah, dys means something's wrong. And
okay.
Arthric is, I think, has to do with articulation.
Interesting. What is it called when, it's usually in children when they can't say R's and they say W's instead?
Oh, yeah.
Or certain British people.
Certain British people.
Jonathan Woss.
Yes. They just have a problem with their R's.
Oh, okay. I thought they would have a cool name or something. Because I think
erotic,
I find that very endearing when a child is like the Wanjo or something like that. Like, that's just so sweet to me. I'm not trying to diminutize anybody who's got like serious speech disorders or anything. It's just very sweet.
Yeah.
It's a cute thing.
Well, it's called gliding, actually.
Oh, really?
My brain starts to turn on.
All right.
Because a glide, if you are a linguist, there's like different categories. Oh my gosh, this is so nerdy.
Please, nerd out. I love it. Do your thing.
Okay. Different speech sounds have different category, like classifications. So like plosives, like you said before.
Okay.
Or like the p, t, k, g.
Anything that would put spit on a microphone, pretty much.
Yeah, exactly. All the fun ones. And then like the fricatives, where there's lots of like s and f and v.
Is it the same thing as a sibilant then, or?
Sibilant is like a s. Yeah.
It's a great sound on a microphone. Everybody loves to hear that in their ears.
You can do different ones like
snake cast.
Ooh. Yeah.
Ooh.
You can do adjectives like. So like a kaola.
Isn't that like Swahili or something? Or like Yoruba?
I just made that up, but yeah.
Just a kaola.
Ukula.
Coca-Cola.
Or Coquitlam.
Oh, yeah, I could see that coming up in regular everyday speech.
I do it.
Just like.
Just to fuck with people.
Just end up beatboxing in the end. That was really bad. I'm so sorry.
No, it wasn't. I thought you were going to bring it to another
song. Your little face is so angry and sad for me. Your disappointment in me is legion.
Chris, don't you want to make a fun sound with us? Ooh, nice drill.
That's like a vocal warm up, isn't it?
It is. Uh-huh. It's a semi occluded vocal track task. Yes.
Yeah. Wow.
I know.
Oh, that's right. It threw down a term.
I like these terminologies.
I know. What's your favorite kind of vocal warm up to do? I like blowing bubbles in a straw and in water.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's
and making trills while blowing bubbles.
Oh, is that a thing that works really well? Because I love to sing. I have a moderately nice voice, is what I would describe it as.
I can tell from your vagina Christmas songs.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
I can tell that you have a nice singing voice from your vagina. You're just going to let it go.
Yeah, stop it at that.
The acoustics in there are amazing.
Cavernous. An echoing.
Nice!
Echoic.
It is average at worst and spectacular at best.
We already know all about your cervix, but
ooh,
it's beautiful.
Oh my god, congratulations! Congratulations.
Thank you.
I'm pretty sure I heard that podcast. That,
or as a joke that I've been doing how I have a beautiful cervix.
Your OBGYN,
according to every doctor who's ever given me a pap smear. They're always like, oh my God, it's so easy to find. It's exactly where it's supposed to be. It looks just like it's supposed to look. I was like, it's a model.
Katie, I don't want to alarm you.
Okay.
But I have also been told that. And as soon as I heard that joke that you said, I was like, maybe it's like a line that they use on us.
No, don't tell me that.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, it's okay.
I've never been told that I have.
Oh, so
no
yours
one's
is
ever
like
talked
jacked
about.
Then.
You could you should ask. You should be like, so, how's you could use some descriptive terms.
If you were to grade it, like, on a letter grade scale.
Is it an A+?
Like a B+? Like B-. Oh, yeah. Oh no.
Yeah, I've never, no one's ever commented.
Ooh,
yeah.
That must be really sad for you.
It kind of is. My feelings were hurt a little bit when you said it might be jacked.
I'm so sorry. I just meant to be funny. I didn't mean it. I'm sure it's beautiful.
I just, I know that it moves around a lot.
Oh, they've said that. They're like, oh, it just keeps hiding.
We got a wanderlust.
Yeah, I've heard that. I've heard of that before. I worked at a sex clinic for a little while.
Oh, yeah.
One of my many Joe jobs. Options for sexual health.
Yeah. What? I used to volunteer for Planned Parenthood when when it was still Planned Parenthood before it was options. I worked at the clinic in North Delta.
Ooh.
Mm. It was fun work.
My sister works there, so I think she's our official title, the communications director.
Awesome.
Rad.
She's a sexologist.
Wow.
She's the coolest.
You must have the most interesting, like, holiday dinners in your household.
We do. I'm the prude, for sure.
You?
Yeah, one time, oh God, I'll never forget. I just still have PTSD. My elderly grandfather was sitting at the table, and my mother was just trying, I think she was just trying to be, like, curious and, like, show my sister that she cared about what she was learning, because my mom was the nicest woman in the entire world. And she was like, oh, well, I've always wondered, I've heard some different terms, and what's the difference between a dildo and a vibrator? And I was like, oh, God. Oh, no.
This is happening.
This is happening. Oh, no, it wasn't my mom. It was my aunt. Oh, my God. Okay, well, clearly, the PTSD is skewing my memories. It was my aunt. Oh, she's lovely, too. And my elderly grandpa was just sitting there like, oh, can you pass the gravy? And I was just like, I can't do this. I need out, you crazy people. Oh, God. Yeah, anyway.
And then your sister explained it.
Yep. In detail.
You're like, I don't remember what it says. It's just like a roaring in my ears.
Yeah.
One goes buzz and the other one doesn't.
Yeah.
That's a pretty simple definition.
Yeah. Precisely.
Yeah. I mean.
Oh, and one time she was my sister was doing her master's, I think. It was either her master's or her doctorate. I can't remember.
Master's of sex.
Yeah. For real. That she loves that show,
she's,
too.
She's good at it.
Oh, gross. She doesn't have a baby. So, I mean, she did it once. At least, you know, of. Shit, that's kind of like thinking about that.
It's so funny to think of you as being
stop. Now, I know.
You're
I'm the pre
red. You're
I
beat
know.
Red.
I know. Cause you, oh, gosh. Whew. Okay. Anyway, my sister, I came home from, like, just high school, and she was in university, and she was sitting in the living room doing homework. But for her, homework was watching porn at that moment. And I had a bunch of friends with me, and I was like, oh my God, you're embarrassing me. I was like, turn it off. She's like, what? It's just porn. I'm like, it's 1970s porn, and there's bush everywhere. I was so angry. I'll never forget.
That's hilarious. Oh my God. It's so funny to think about you being, because I met you in a comedy class, like the first one that I did.
Yes.
Like over a year ago. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was like last summer, I want to say, like last June, maybe.
Yeah.
Something like that. So it's been a while, and I remember, like, you have some bawdy jokes.
I do.
Some rather bawdy jocularities.
Some nasty ones.
It's very funny to think of you as being the prude in your family.
I know.
But I'm a little bit prudy too, and that's always a bit of a shock for some people, because like if I overhear any of my friends having sex with each other, I'm like,
are you in that situation often?
I mean, I used to live with roommates and stuff, right? So, but like, or like a house party, or like. going on vacation with other people or something like that, I'll just, like, put in headphones and, like, put on white noise for, like, an hour until I'm sure.
So it's happened enough times that you have tactics to overcome.
Well, I also
it,
used to be in a band that toured around, and one of the band members got laid, like, every show we had, and would be, like, in a room next to me, and very, like, all the women that he would sleep with would be very loud and obnoxious.
So I saw a really hilarious movie yesterday, just to completely digress.
By all means.
And it was about... It was called Aim for the Roses, and it's, like, an indie film about, like, Canadian daredevil Ken Carter.
Never heard of him.
Yeah. And a bass player that wrote this, like, fucking soundtrack based on this guy's exploits, like, 30 tracks of double bass, like, drones all set to Pi. Like, there's a whole math rock thing happening with it.
Oh, God.
It was pretty hilarious and awesome, but then the guy was, like, talking about how, like, I just had to finish this album. It was my life's goal and my dream, and I just had to lose everything. And then, like, my wife and I split up, and basically, you know what they say about bass players? Like, if you, a bass player without a girlfriend is homeless. And he's like, and I basically was, but then I kept doing this fucking album.
Oh, my God. Oh, that is so true,
is
though.
Is it a mockumentary?
No.
That's a real thing.
Yeah.
It does sound like a Michael McKean.
I know, so, but the movie was great because it was, like, about this daredevil guy, but then it was also about the composer who composed this thing, and their stories kind of ran in this parallel way. And to me, like, I was watching it with my partner, and he's like, wow, it's so cool, like, these guys just pursuing their dream at all costs. And I was like, there are no women in this movie. All these guys are just so dumb, and, like, all their wives left them, and they're just like, I'm just gonna jump over a river, and it's gonna take me 3 years and $50,000, and I'm gonna lose all my friends.
Oh, and, my, like, God, the differing perspectives is so
And then Ed
funny.
Was like, yeah, it is cool, like, just pursuing your dream at all costs. I'm like, oh, so impractical.
Oh, get a Joe job.
Get a Joe job.
It made me laugh.
That is so fucking funny.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's men do a lot of nonsense, eh? You noticed that?
Yeah.
You picked up on that a little bit?
Mm-hmm. But they're just such delightful oafs. It's so fun to watch them sometimes.
It's hard to love them, but we do.
Yeah. It's kind of, I do like it when people pursue their dream, but it's just like...
I do too, but that single-mindedness is something that men are only really allowed to do culturally.
Mm-hmm. I might be the only one, but I don't like it when people pursue their dreams. I find it like just a little passive aggressive. Like
I'm doing.
Like what I can do. Like when people post on Facebook about how they've like traveled, I'm like, oh, nice. Great.
Ooh, you have a big backpack.
Oh, did you get engaged? Oh.
Oh, you made a human life? Good for you.
Why are we all crying right now, you guys?
Huge promotion at work. You're valued in your job. That must be
just
great.
Tracks of tears pouring through.
It's a lot of anger I've just worked through, I think.
No, don't take it out on the throats.
Oh, never.
Yeah.
Never. Don't
take
it out
on the
throats.
You're a scientist. You're pursuing your dream. I don't know if it's a dream,
no,
but just
is.
Was the acting the dream and then... And
oh,
then
gosh, no.
No.
Oh,
no.
Oh, gosh, no. No, well, I still do acting and comedy, like comedic acting, and I do sketch, and I started doing stand-up more and more, and it's...
That's so good.
Yeah, but, I mean, I want to do both.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah.
Which is great.
I know.
It's so nice.
Because it's 2016.
Independent.
I can do what I want. I don't need a man. It's full circle.
Yeah. Full circle. I like it though. It's I think it's great when you have like a job that is like cool and interesting and satisfies your curiosity.
Totally.
And is like a fun thing to do. And it turns out that it like pays well and is pretty chill. And
yeah.
That's nice. Like, that I don't know. Those are too. Like, those are cool.
As so many of these conversations have gotten totally digressed, and that's fine. I think that's
how
we.
Seven irons in the fire right
it's
now.
It's sort of just what we always do. We just get so excited about something, we jump to another thing. But I was thinking about like just with vocal stuff, you complimented me very nicely saying that my Vagina Snowman song was very nice. But I find that I don't sing properly, however it is to do. I was talking to Christina about this earlier in the week because I'm doing this personal training.
You've called me Christina before. That was very interesting.
Oh, I don't know why I did.
Yeah.
Because there's a sign.
I just do sometimes.
It's elevating.
Yeah, sometimes
I don't know. That just, I liked it.
I liked it.
It was just remarkable.
Normally I just call her Chris.
Guys,
but,
stop holding hands.
Ooh, they're kissing. wouldn't put it past us. But one of the things I have to do when I start my workout is do a diaphragm release. Uh-huh. And it involves, like, putting my fingers under my ribs and, like, pushing on my diaphragm and then exhaling and leaning forward until it, like, just sort of loosens up a little bit.
Wait, you have to do this?
They make me do it.
Who makes you do that?
The personal trainer.
Your personal trainer sounds like an asshole.
Yeah, they're mean.
That sounds awful.
It's pretty bad. But
say no, Katie.
My diaphragm was apparently compensating for a lot of stuff. So, so they're like, okay, let that go. And then your other muscles will, like, take over. So, but I've been noticing because I have to do more breathing exercises as a result, just to figure out where it is and where it's going and stuff. And I'm realizing, like, when I rehearse singing for our New Year's party, I can, like, press my diaphragm in and make the sound come out way better without straining my throat, which is something that I normally do when I'm singing. If I sing 5 songs in a row, by the end, my throat really hurts and I feel like I've, like, strained everything in there.
Well, you shouldn't feel strained.
Well, I do. I'm sorry. So that's what's happening.
I didn't mean to say, like, you're doing it wrong. You shouldn't feel strained.
Well, but that's true.
So, yeah, but I do feel strained.
You do.
I do.
I'm not a singing pedagogy expert by any means. I know that there's people who, singing teachers who have certain approaches from the diaphragm. The thing is, you can't fully release your diaphragm. You need it. It's part of your...
It's supposed to say
taut. Can't let it go.
Yeah, well, I mean, you can...
Go get a job.
You can learn to use it more effectively, I think, but it is a muscle of inspiration, so you need it to get air in.
Oh, that kind of inspiration.
Yeah, it pulls down.
Oh, literal inspiration.
Yeah. Oh, hey, that's probably something. Because I was
like, diaphragm, the muscle of inspiration, I'm just like... Eureka! Comes from my diaphragm when I do it.
There you go. That's whatever works for your mental imaging of it. Yeah. If it's inspiration in that sense.
I didn't even think about that as being like what it's called when you breathe in.
Oh, yeah. Inhalation or inspiration.
Yeah.
I didn't make it up, I swear.
Oh, okay.
It's in textbooks and stuff.
All right. Or you're lying and we just are going along with it completely. We trusted you. You're a scientist. You are a master of science.
Almost.
So your diaphragm is a muscle of inspiration.
Yeah, so you can't fully release it. I mean, you can relax. You can learn to use it better. Strain is usually, it's muscle tension. Or if you have to overcome, so when you're all going to do the fun hand thing again, when to set your vocal folds in motion, you need to have air come up from your lungs, and that's what sets them into motion.
Right.
If you aren't using your air properly, or if your vocal folds are not as working as efficiently as they could be, you're going to have to work harder to set them into motion.
Okay.
And that can start to create tension, and it can be harder to sustain phonation for longer if it's not working.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And it's all about, you know, your warm-up and knowing what feels good for your voice.
I definitely haven't been warming up when I sing, so maybe that's something that I should be doing. So I should blow bubbles into my chocolate milk.
Yeah.
You can
Google... Or don't drink chocolate milk right before I try to sing.
Well, that too.
When we talk about voice therapy, there's 3 phases we consider. There's the unloading phase, which is something that the straw does. It helps to create a better phonatory pattern in your vocal folds, and it relaxes the muscles. Because, like I was saying, your lungs set the vocal folds into motion from below. What the straw does is it creates back pressure, and so it sets your vocal folds into motion from the top as well.
You get like nice little two-way.
Yeah, so
it's fascinating.
Vocal massage kind of thing.
Yeah, so it works because you do it. It works because you're creating a change in the system.
Right on.
In the structure. So doing that helps to get that pattern back into a nice, a good, healthy pattern. And then so that's unloading. You can also do a massage. That's part of unloading the muscle tension.
Cool. I can do that.
You can literally warm up with a vibrator if you want to.
A little Hitachi magic wand on the throat.
I'm serious. Researchers at U of A have been looking into that, and it's been like some interesting results. So then,
well, I can do that.
Yeah, you can do that. There's also there's also resonant voice. It's a technique to about placing your voice, and you can learn that pretty easily.
Oh, that's cool.
You should. And then there's stretching and strengthening. It's like taking your larynx to the gym. So there's exercises that you can do in therapy. Those are the 3 basic.
Swallow a barbell.
Oh yeah. Well, swallowing is actually a really good relaxer for your larynx as well.
I just did it right now. It feels great.
So did I.
Do not let the men in your life tell you that it's good for you just because I said that. Swallowing is good, see? Yeah, dry swallowing.
Oh, God.
Anyways.
Just a sip from the old coffee cup.
I love that I can say I'm a swallowing expert. That's hilarious.
Probably gets you some pretty interesting messages on Tinder.
I don't Tinder.
Oh, good. Yeah. Good, don't.
I've thought about, I mean, okay, so I did. Like, I'm not going to lie to you. I have.
Good.
I did. My very first message that I got on Tinder was, I can't even say it. Prude. I'm going red again. You look like you could take a dick. And I was like,
God.
So do you.
Where do you want me to take it? Like, I'll take it to Mexico.
I can take it off your body.
Like, throw it just, in the bushes.
I was like, I don't need this.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
You look like you could take a dick.
Yikes.
That's not a compliment.
No, I know. And like, what the best part was, like, the picture was I was wearing a cat hat, like a cat mask. But like, but you could still see my face. The mask was just on top of my head. And I was just like pouting. Not even pouting. It wasn't like, ooh, I'm pouting. Ooh.
It was just like, does this look like I'm good at dicks?
Ooh. Doesn't it look like I could just take one anywhere? I don't understand.
Like, what does he think you're gonna do? Yup! And your response
did it really pop? I hope you have one for me to take. Like, what? Yeah, anyway, so that was my Tinder experience.
Like, no, I usually just bat at them. Like, just.
Yeah. I lock them in the basement.
Do you have a basement?
I prefer to give dicks, rather.
Just like give a dick a little present. Just like, here you go, buddy.
Here you go. Oh, dear. I'm a tiger.
Here's a little hat for you. God.
Here's some tiger bomb.
That's not a... That's, oh, God, yeah. Give him some tiger bomb. That's not a nice thing to say to somebody. It's not a good opening line.
I mean, I thought it was... I mean, obviously, hilarious now in hindsight, but... Yeah, so...
Didn't work,
really,
I guess.
It wasn't really my deal. Mm-hmm. It wasn't my bag, that Tinder thing.
Yeah. No. It's really only good as a stand-up comedy.
Oh, like, yeah. Fodder. It's fodder. Great, for sure, for that.
Yeah, just constant new material.
Yeah. Disappointment.
I wrote a little thing with my friend who was an avid Tinderist.
A Tinderist?
Yeah. Tinder enthusiast. We wrote this thing because she was like, look at all these boys. Like, look at them. And I was like, hey, I'm just going to just put this out there as like a rule to live by. If he's wearing sunglasses in more than 2/3 of his photos... No. Just say no. He's got something to hide. He's got, shady.
He's got roomy eyes.
Why? Shady. Just say no. So we developed this list of auto nopes.
Okay. Oh, tell us about the auto nopes sunglasses.
See if I can remember all of them.
Using a fish picture as the main picture.
Yeah, that makes me laugh. My partner's big into fishing, and he had this picture of him, and I was like, oh, you can make that your Tinder profile. And his sister on Facebook was like, it's on Tinder, but you guys are together. And I was like,
no.
Relax.
Started some family rumors.
Relax.
Let's see if I can find it on Google, because... Oh, I love that it's on. I love that I can Google it, find it.
That's Google so, your own stuff.
Yeah, it's called the Art of the Auto Nope.
Oh, I love it.
And it's a list. This is what
we made. Add the list to the roundup on this.
We made this list. Remember when like lists on like BuzzFeed and HuffPost were like super hot?
I think they're still trying that out. What was it called? It was like the
Art of the Auto Nope.
The Art of the Auto Nope.
And like, okay, I'm just gonna. Should I just tell you what it's
called?
Dear ladies of Tinderland, since currently there is no Tinder algorithm to auto-nope the douchery parade that you will undoubtedly be exposed to, here are some examples of men who will not, we repeat, will not be worth your like.
I really like the way you're projecting right now.
Thank you. That's I went to theater school.
I know about voices.
Yeah.
Okay, auto-nopes.
And I said, gentlemen, feel free to use this as a how-to guide. Ha! I'm so sassy. Okay. Okay. Oh, these are good. These hold true. We wrote this a couple years ago.
Nice.
No, January 3rd, 2015. So almost 2 years ago. And they still hold pretty true. If there's a blow-up air mattress anywhere in his photos,
mm-hmm.
Nope.
Yeah, you will be giving a sad hand jump on that mattress.
Oh, no. It will deflate, as will your self-respect. Number two, if he lists the exact number of tattoos he has... Well, on the plus side, he can count. That's nice. He states his hobbies include the gym. sorry, that's just, I'm sure people are really into the gym, but.
I guess.
It's not a hobby. It's something that I do because I don't want to die.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, if he uses an inspirational quote like, doubt kills more dreams than failure ever will.
Oh, God.
Aw, probably just because they're kind of lame. Aww. Also, I don't know. That's
little sweeties.
Yeah, actually, maybe, you know what? As I get older, I feel like maybe that one I'd be okay with. I saw that.
Doubt kills more just dreams.
Slowly relaxing your standards. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
That is real.
Cervix ain't gonna be perfect forever.
God, they're quick.
If any of his photos are just of a car or truck or motorcycle, do you really want to be second fiddle to a 1992 Mustang? Ooh.
Oh.
Maybe a 94.
Younger model.
Okay, if he's wearing sunglasses, we talked about that one. He has secrets. If he's making the shocker hand gesture, known colloquially as two in the pink, one in the stink.
What if he's doing this, like, the Dane Cook super finger?
Ooh, gross.
What?
That was something he tried to do. It's like, this is the super finger because it's your middle finger and your ring finger, so it's like a double finger.
What a fucking troglodyte that man is.
Yes, he truly is.
That's how I feel about him. If the
You're
only
on notice, Dane Cook.
You're let it be known. I'll be serving you with papers. If the only information in his bio is his height, relevant or not. If he's surrounded by all girls in his photos, let's be honest, his current harem is impressive enough. Now he's just being greedy. If his... These are great.
Yeah, these are very good.
I do say so.
I thought this was going to be, like, just a cheeky list, but I'm like, no, these are actually very good deal breakers.
Yeah. Well, I put think into things.
I put think in this.
I make words. Good thing I'm communication specialist. Good thing. Okay. If any of his photos are professional headshots, so you're an actor. Okay. Fearful of self-loathing. Next. If he's wearing cutoff shorts, unless it's clearly part of a Halloween costume, or he lives on Main Street.
I like a man in a nice short.
I like the nice denim cutoff.
Yeah, I'm gonna say that one has changed.
Little short jorts.
Ooh, yeah. I also recently, I will say this, but I'm not proud of it, recently rewatched all of the Twilight movies because I didn't want to write a paper.
That is a great way to avoid writing a paper.
But, like, man, Jacob in his cutoffs did things for me.
It's pretty handsome. After the third movie, when he's for sure over 20, then it's not so bad.
Right. Yeah, that's what I'm referring to.
He got rid of that bad wig that he wore in the first one.
Was it a wig?
Yes, it was. Oh, it was for sure a wig.
I liked it.
It's Mr. Taylor Lautner.
Ooh, yeah. Ooh. I mean, just...
How old is he now? Am I a bad person? So you like them jorts.
Oh, yeah. Well,
in them jorts is good jorts.
Yeah. Them's were... So maybe that one I've changed...
My aesthetic sensibility is definitely accommodate that now.
Yeah. I used to hate facial hair so much. Ooh. I used to just want to only clean shave, and now I'm like, yeah, beards are fine.
Yeah.
So we all change. Mm-hmm. I don't like...
We all change.
Well, it depends on who it is. If it's King Richard from Galavant, his beard makes his face so much better.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Mm. Sorry, just having a moment there. Very single.
I wonder... the saturation, like... Okay, so this is a total tangent, but it's, like, the way that I started feeling way more comfortable just in my own skin was, like, Tumblr and following, like, awesome, like, fat fashion blogs and, like, good shit like that. And just the saturation of, like, look at all these cute people. Yay. Yeah. And so do you think the saturation of beards, like, you just see more of them, so you've adjusted.
Yeah, I think it's not an option anymore.
Yeah.
I know so many wonderful people who have beards, and I get, like, rubbed by a beard and a hug all the time, and sometimes I'm like, that's nice.
You know what I like about it?
What?
If we're being honest, I like that I can use the beard as, like, a bargaining token. Like, you're not shaving your face, so I'm not shaving either.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
As soon as I see it, I'm just like, you're going to be so much more low maintenance for me.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I think so. Yeah, sure. What, is there any more good nopes?
There's some good nopes.
What I love about beards is how they smell.
Really?
Like Doritos?
I love it when a guy, okay, this is weird, but it's like when a guy smokes cigarettes, but like hand-rolled cigarettes because I'm a pretentious fuck, and like the smell of like nice tobacco like lingering in a beard is just really nice. I've got a few friends that I like to huff.
Like get your snoot in their little beards.
Yeah, I love it.
It's a little beard huffer.
Anyway, sorry. Back to the nope list.
Beard huffers. Is that our? Is uh oh.
Okay, that's the title.
Is that our fetish?
Beard huffers anonymous.
Oh my gosh. Yes, that makes sense to me. We should start a support group.
Well, it's like that's the good stuff. Whatever. I guess maybe pheromones get trapped in beards too.
Oh yeah, too.
So.
Oh yeah.
I've come around on just people being furry in general, I think. Mm-hmm. In some ways not. Like, I still definitely have a lot of internal misogyny stuff about, like, women's body hair and stuff, and I try not to put that on anybody else, but with myself, I'm always like, shave legs, shave pits, shave it all. Like, yeah. So, that's dumb. But it's a thing. You gotta get over it. And it's hard.
I think you get to do whatever feels right and best for you.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. And if you want to be as smooth as a baby seal,
that is your choice. Yeah. And you know what? I have lots of male friends. I grew up swimming. I was a competitive swimmer, so I have lots of male friends who were always silky smooth. And my first couple of boyfriends when I was younger
shaved their legs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it was nice.
Just very aerodynamic.
Yeah. You know? Hydrodynamic.
Hydrodynamic. I would say.
Oh, yeah, I guess so.
You know, you jump into the bed that's got the silk sheets and you just swoop right out the other side.
What character?
I don't know. It was like every accent smushed together.
This is her beard huffing in her monologue.
Yeah. I got a little too much oxygen when I did the fake huff and then some weird thing took over me.
Accents. Coming out. Foreign accents.
I'm very bad at doing accents, but it's fine.
Okay, there's four more. Okay. He refers to himself as a ninja or a cowboy or a ninja cowboy. If I remember correctly, we saw a guy who was like, I'm a ninja cowboy. And I was like, we need to talk. Sam, this man is not okay.
He's not okay.
He's either joking, which is weird joke. It's a weird joke. I'm a ninja cowboy? Like, what does that even mean?
Or he thinks he is a ninja cowboy.
If he's saying I'm a ninja cowboy as a joke, like with no explanation, this is lame. Mm-hmm. And if he actually thinks he's a ninja cowboy, then there's a problem.
That's a problem.
Mm-hmm. He's going to be sneaking up on you all the time, lassoing you.
Oh, yeah. Although,
trying
you know
to brand
what?
You.
To be honest, if I'm being honest, I think maybe now that one might have changed a little after you said the less.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow. Okay. If he's into EDM, that's not fair, I don't think. Oh, wow.
You've grown so much since this was made.
Yeah, I've really learned to be more compassionate of others, I think. Oh, if he has one or more elevator mirror selfies, does he not have a mirror in his home?
That's very...
Is there better lighting in the elevator? What a turn.
Because then you just know that when you go to his house, you'll look terrible in his bathroom mirror or something, and that's not good for anybody's self-esteem.
No. Or his bathroom's really dirty.
Ew.
Or he lives with a girl. Has a girlfriend. And he's...
Oh, I mean...
Yeah, could be a thing.
Doesn't want you to see all of, like, the lady products that are in the mirror selfies. Yeah.
I mean, there's so many reasons.
That's a really... That's a quite a nice... Like, that's a subtle red flag. I enjoy that.
Oh, my goodness. The subtleties of... God, I'm really glad to not have had to ever deal with Tinder. Because it seems awful.
I
have online dated my face off.
Yeah.
But never Tinder.
Yeah.
Never with the swipies.
Yeah. We could go on it right now. We could see if we find any of these autonopes.
That would be so funny.
Oh, the last one. This is fair. If his bio is his Snapchat username, prepare yourself for a lot of unsolicited dick pics.
Yeah.
Although, can I, you know what? In my...
If I had a dick?
In my wisdom, I would like to just be very clear about the fact that I don't actually believe there's such thing as an unsolicited dick pic anymore. I've got friends who were like, I was just talking to him, and then the next thing I know, he just sent me a picture of his dick, and I was like, why did you do that? And I'm like, well, what was the conversation about beforehand? And they're like, well, I was talking about how I'm just laying in bed all alone, and it's really cold, and I wish there was somebody here. And I'm like,
Yeah, he's like, do you mean my dick?
Yeah. So, like, you're at home, like, making notes in the margin of your Bible. You were soliciting that.
You were soliciting something.
Something. And, like, you know what?
You think they would give you, like, something subtle first. Like, maybe just a boner in clothes.
Yeah.
Start small, guys. That's my advice. It's like,
how about just their good-looking face? That's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I prefer the face pic. But, I mean, like, if it's up your alley, if that's what you want to do, like, test the waters with a clothed dick pic first. Like, wear some gray sweats.
Yeah.
Oh, and just
gray sweats. Why gray sweats?
No. Katie on this one, girl.
What?
High five.
Yeah. What? Oh, okay.
Gray sweatpants, dick, outline. Gray sweatpants, dick,
outline. Oh, just
because
you can see all the deets.
All the deets. You get the 411 on fun.
We had a tech support guy walk into the room one day, and he obviously, like, didn't mean to be there in that moment with a group of just, like, all girls sitting there. and he walked in and he looked so flushed, and we just like immediately you could just see it was like animals like finding like a piece of prey. Our eyes just went, boom,
he's got a job.
We're like, he's wearing sweatpants and nothing else. And we were just like,
did he have a shirt on?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Tech support. Yeah. Oh man, if tech support came in, Justin.
Oh my god, if it's like a, oh, there are some hot nerds now. Yeah, there wasn't now. Always, but finally. Just like a shirtless guy in fucking gray sweats is like, hey, I'm here to reset your router.
Oh yeah. Did you try unplugging it first?
Plugging it back in.
Turn it on. Do you want me to press your reset button for you?
Do you need me to turn it on for you?
God, have you tried?
I'm horrified.
Have you tried? Now you're
the
prude.
Yeah, we loosened up so much, and then you had to pick up the prude slack, so to speak.
Yeah.
Mm. Do we want to take
Why
a short?
Why gray sweatpants?
Oh, because it just shows.
It's just nice.
Are they loose?
Yeah.
Didn't you see that episode of Broad City where there were Ilana and Abby are watching those guys play basketball?
Oh, they're in basketball shorts.
Oh yeah, well it's the same thing. Same principle. Yeah.
Just when I think lots of room. When I think of gray sweatpants, I think of stains.
Sure.
That's the first thing that like.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a thing though. If you look online.
Oh yeah, John Hamm. John Hamm gray sweatpants. I urge you.
Okay, let's take a break and look at dicks. We'll be right back. Okay, I'm converted.
She knows about the sweatpants now, guys.
Right. Tay Diggs.
That's Tay Diggs?
Oh.
Oh, God. Tay Diggs, more like.
Yeah. Tay Diggs.
Yep. So when you Googled it, was the 21 most important celebrity bulge.
That's what
those journalists are truly doing God's work.
Yes, yeah, right up there with the wines that pair well with.
That's what we tried to do on a segment last week and the week before last, and it did not work.
No.
Oh man, I have a whole list of things.
We were trying to do you would have been the perfect person then maybe for our 7-Eleven sommelier segment. We were really struggling with it. We were trying to figure out what like dirty snack foods pairs the best with nice wine.
Oh no, I'd be all over that.
Mm. Yeah, you'd be the master of this.
Yes. Yeah, that's how I live
master
my life.
Of science.
I'm a master of that. I'm a master of at least those two things.
What's your favorite? Chris had her favorite combo, which was
Chardonnay and Chicago mix.
Yeah.
Oh, very
nice. You
gonna
give that a shot?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, I like a peppermint patty in a Merlot. It's very rich and warm, and it's like a nice, like, you feel just, like, warm from the inside out.
That just seems very festive, very seasonally appropriate.
Yeah. Some people prefer
it's like
their
mulling inside yourself.
Yeah, it's like internal mulled wine.
Yes, you make your own.
Throw some cloves in there.
Just chew on a clove?
Ew. I actually hate cloves. I don't think I hate many things in this world, but.
Did you get dry socket when you had your wisdom teeth out?
I have my wisdom teeth.
Oh, really? Okay, because that's what I've heard from people who did end up getting dry socket when they had theirs taken out, was that they had to get, like, clove oil packs put in, and then they can't stand the smell of cloves anymore, because it just reminded them of being in pain and drooling and stuff.
I did that at the,
I had the easiest removal ever. Mine were no problem.
I still have mine. I had my 13-year Wednesday. I had something taken out before these ones came in.
Okay. And so nobody's making you do. You have beautiful teeth, so.
I only ever got the top ones. I never grew bottom ones. Yeah, I'm the next phase of evolution.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah. Well, so my children will maybe have no wisdom teeth at all. Who knows?
I love that that's a... Oh, that reminds me of my... Okay, so this is a stupid theory, but I'm allowed to have theories because I'm a scientist. this is dumb. So, you know, okay, people are evolving to not be producing wisdom teeth because we've been taking them out. And we also don't need them.
Yeah.
So,
You know, room at the end in my mouth hole. But, so, vocal fry.
Ooh.
Now, historically, every linguistic change has been led by women. Women are the first people to do any linguistic change, and then eventually trickles into the male population, and then it becomes so.
No shock to us.
Interesting.
No. Yeah, because women rule the world.
Women rule, men drool.
Yeah, fact. Ha! As a scientist. Fact. Oh, God, I gotta stop touting that. That's not fair. Anyway, so vocal fry... This is a dumb theory, and it probably doesn't mean anything, but I'm going to say it.
Great, please.
Okay. Talk faster.
She's going to do it again. She's going to do the gesture. The
so what vocal fry is doing is it's making less air come through, because you're squeezing and you're pressing your vocal folds together. So more air is staying in your lungs for longer. As our atmospheric air and oxygen supply is getting lower because of carbon and emissions, and there's not as much free oxygen available. Mm-hmm. You know how gas exchange works. We breathe in, you breathe out. You breathe out some of your oxygen when you breathe out. You don't use it all. If you hold your air in longer, there's more chance of more oxygen absorption. So maybe we're adapting to our atmospheric changes, and that's why vocal fry is becoming more prevalent.
Oh, I dig that.
Fascinating, actually.
I hope that's for real.
I don't. Well, I do. But
Also because of the environment and stuff. Yeah,
But I mean, you've locked it into something that will be archived forever. Right. So if you are right, you can come back to this and be like, I thought of this.
Yeah, time date stamp.
Yes, absolutely.
But I don't know what's in there.
That's super fascinating. I think that's really, really cool. Like, that might be bullshit, but it sounds good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's all we care about here on the CX podcast. Right?
Elena, you said something before too that women are often more prone to vocal nodes, and you didn't say why, because then I distracted you.
I just dropped that.
Bitches be yapping.
Because we talk so much.
Oh my God.
No, so men have, because of the testosterone, they have more collagen in their bodies and more collagen produced. Which builds up so your vocal folds are layers. They're basically like a saran wrap layer, and underneath that there's like a jello-y kind of layer. And that jello-y layer is a cushion. And women have less cushion than men, so you have more smacking together, more collision forces in your vocal
folds. This all just sounds really sexual still.
I know, doesn't it? It's amazing. And then when you picture a larynx, it's just picture it like flapping together quickly, thousands of times in a row.
That's I'm picturing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'm doing it.
Yeah,
right now.
Yeah, so it just
they less have, collagen.
Yeah, yeah, and actually, so I've been recently. I was working with transgender voice change.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so fascinating. So when a trans man is on testosterone, which not all of them take, but if they are, people notice that their voices get deeper. And that's because the testosterone is making some changes and changing the histology, maybe. I don't actually know. Mm-hmm. I don't know all the endocrinology part of it because I'm not
that kind of scientist.
But then, unfortunately, for trans women, taking estrogen doesn't make their voices higher and doesn't change their voices to sound or be perceived more female. So I was working with a group doing Changing Keys, which is a program developed here in Vancouver for transitioning voices.
Cool.
That's super cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of speech therapy that most of the trans women I know, they if they have the money for it, because it's not really covered, they will go and take classes or like do like a one-on-one training with somebody, voice training they call it.
Yeah, voice training.
But there's also YouTube videos that people use a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's harder to do that without the support of somebody who's like an actual scientist, but it definitely helps with the like dealing with vocal dysphoria and stuff, which is so really cool. It's super important.
Is Changing Keys, is that like a more accessible program?
Yeah, it's actually sponsored by THIP. Transgender Health Information Program.
Okay.
And it's a provincial program. Hmm. And so Changing Keys that I was part of, just as a student, there was a clinician, like a certified registered speech pathology clinician who was running it. And it was, the program was created by a speech pathologist. And it's vocal training. It's not therapy because
there's nothing wrong.
There's nothing wrong with the voice. It's just
they want it to sound a different way.
Yeah. And I should also say that that's not necessarily true for every trans person, that their voice is...
These are good things to say.
Yeah.
Saying all the right things.
Thank you.
And I'm an authority on this stuff.
Yeah. Well, yeah, so it's...
Cool.
So if that, yeah, it's a great program.
Wicked.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely have to link to that or something if I can find a link online.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
That's really awesome. I'm so glad that you're doing that.
Yeah, it was... the program, it was... I can't remember how many weeks it was. I think it was 10 weeks, maybe. And it was so rewarding. It was incredible.
You just work with the same group? Or?
Yeah, it was the same group of people. And there's one in Surrey. There was a couple in Vancouver. I think there's one in Victoria as well.
That's really awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That's so cool. I'm so glad that exists.
Yeah.
All these, I didn't even know about it, which is weird because I like basically have a Google alert for this shit. So.
Yeah, I remember, I'll never forget. There was one lady who, she said she's living her life. in her authentic self. There's only one thing that she wants to change, and that's her voice. That's kind of the last goalpost for her. And she got there.
That's awesome.
And it is, it's...
That must be so rewarding.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and there was this one lady who, oh my gosh, I love her so much. I just saw her blossom, and it was voice that did it. Mm. She went from being very shy and just...
Didn't want to be heard.
Yeah, and just you could just tell there was just a lot going on, just not wanting, not comfortable.
Yeah.
You can see that, and you could feel that, and then throughout the program, getting more and more comfortable, and then, yeah, it was just,
Yeah.
That's so nice.
You were saying before, like, how, you know, people's voice is so much of their identity. Absolutely. Because that's how you communicate. Like, that's how you express yourself and your own uniqueness. So, mm-hmm. like, if that's feeling hindering, then...
And we set goals. We don't say, like, when we're doing it, we're not like, yes, that sounds female, or that sounds... Because it's not about what I perceive.
Mm-hmm.
It's about how you want your voice to sound. Does it sound like you? Is that the voice that you want? Is that representing who you are? So it's
cool.
Yeah.
That's great. Awesome, my dude.
Yeah.
I'm so happy that you're doing those things.
Yeah, I love that. That's one of the most rewarding parts, I think, that I've experienced so far.
And when did you start the program?
My master's? Yeah. Or last September. So it's a 2-year program, 2-year master's. But I had to do all my prereqs before that, so I feel like I've been in school forever.
You have.
I pretty much have.
So you already have a bachelor's. You have your BFA.
I have a BFA. Mentioned. I have a diploma in linguistics. And I worked on my acting diploma, too. And didn't finish that, actually. I dropped out of that program because I didn't want to pay money to be in a play. That seems so stupid. No, I mean, no offense to those of you who found it rewarding.
Dummies. Was a subtext there too.
Yeah.
You dingus.
You dum-dums. Good luck being broke.
It's really wonderful that you were able to find something that was related to something that you were doing artistically. Totally. And actually, like, oh, there's a career path here that isn't just like me begging my parents for money to buy a new air mattress
so I can
get hotties to come over to my path.
And like, I know that I kind of make fun of actors. It's not an easy career, and I just completely applaud them.
It is really easy to make fun of
them. It's so easy to make fun of them.
They're so sensitive.
Well, not all of them. Actually, I think they're incredible. And just, it takes so much dedication and just talent to be able to do that. And so as much as I make fun of them, I can because I am
too,
one. Still.
Yeah, persistence.
Yeah, so not to say that I think that what they did with their training is not a good thing.
No, of course not. No, I think it's wonderful. I just wish that there was more money in Canadian arts.
Oh, me too.
Frankly, because then those people might actually be employed.
Yeah, I mean, I have probably, a couple hundred at least actor friends.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all so talented. It blows my mind. Mm-hmm. And I see them, I'm just, every time I go and see them perform, I'm like, wow, you guys are incredible. How are you not raking in the dough? Mm-hmm. But then it's like they're doing it because they love it and it's who they are and mm-hmm. it's important to them, and
that's why I like to do stand-up. I definitely don't do it to make money.
Because
I don't.
No, it's just nice to make people laugh, isn't
it? Good. It's very validating.
I love that.
You get great laughs. I haven't seen you go up in forever, but when you did, you slaughtered.
I just feel like people don't expect to find women funny sometimes.
I think that works to my advantage constantly. Yeah. When I come, because I figured out a way to get on stage and then just kind of like immediately pick out the thing that people are thinking about me and then just like say it back to them and be like, don't worry, it's cool.
Yeah.
And just to be able to do that. And then they're like, okay, now lay it on me. So you disarm right off the top and then you get them in and then you feel like you're the coolest person in the world because you made a room full of people who feel feelings.
I just like that. Yeah.
It's great. I guess acting's probably like that. Like if you're acting on stage and you hear people crying because like dying in your death scene, you're like, oh, I'm dying so good right now.
Oh man, they think I'm really dead. Yeah.
And they're sad about it. Because I made them love me while I was here.
Yeah, that's a good one, too.
That's got to give me some weird existentialist feels, probably.
And then they see you, like, later in the day, like, at the NOM.
Like you didn't die!
Like, you're having a Dragon Ball! I'm having a Dragon Ball! We're the same!
Actors, just like us.
Just having a Dragon Ball. Mm-hmm. Well, what are we at now?
Dragon Ball Z.
Dragon Ball Z, fuck you.
Yay! can I ask your opinion as a voice scientist? So, my friend Hillary, who sings the theme song for our wonderful podcast here, told me that a good way to like, sort of warm up your voice or just to relax your voice and almost, like, find where your voice sits in your body is to sing upside down a little bit. So, like, you bend over from the waist and you sing, and then I found, like, it really relaxed.
Oh, like, bend over so you feel, yeah.
Yeah, so you're going, like, a forward fold, like, in yoga, and then you kind of go like this, and then you do your singing when you're hanging, like, ragdoll style.
Yeah, yeah.
Interesting.
And so it relaxes stuff, and that's how I found what my actual singing voice is.
Yeah, because your singing voice changed in a huge way about 3 years ago.
Yeah, so I did that exercise, and I found that, oh, my voice is actually a lot sort of lower, and it has this, like, kind of, I don't know, it sits in the middle of my throat in a nicer way than, like, straining up here inside my head.
Yeah.
And it feels so much more comfortable, and I can sing like that when I settle into it like that. I can sing for hours and not have my throat hurt.
Wow. I feel like that sounds to me like you were doing you were finding your resonant voice.
Yeah.
So you were finding that forward placement. So when you're forward and everything relaxes and moves forward, you can feel the vibration in the front of your face more, so you get more comfortable with
it. I felt so much more comfortable.
Yeah, well, what happens with forward placement or high placement voice is that it relaxes your larynx and your extrinsic laryngeal muscles all through here. Relax. I'm pointing to my throat right now.
She's pointing to her butt.
I'm pointing to my, relaxes this sphincter here and this and one here and then a little, and then you sing beautifully. I haven't been certified yet, so I can say that, I think, still.
Cool.
Still unofficial
yes.
advice. But, it sounds like that's tapping into a resonant voice. And before, when I was saying, well, I don't know, the singing pedagogy, like head top to bottom, and that, so like that, the way that singing teachers and singers visualize and get to those places, I feel like there's a lot of crossover between speech pathology and voice and the way people learn to sing. Yeah, it's just different terminology. So I would call that, actually, that's a technique that we use when people are needing to find their resonant voice. So
great.
That bending forward.
It was great. And so Katie, I would recommend...
Bend over, Katie.
Lots of bending.
I just wrote literally that, because that seems like an important note.
But yeah, try that out for New Year's. You might have, like, the super powerhouse voice.
Yeah.
Just like that, yeah, because I have to sing Laura Jane Grace, she's a trans punk singer, and she's got such a growly, powerful voice, and I'm like, they're going to have to save this for the last one, because it's going to destroy my voice.
No.
But let's try to find a way that your singing is sustainable.
Let's do it!
I encourage everybody to sing upside down and see what their actual singing voice sounds like.
And blow bubbles in your drinks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do your warm-ups.
Wax box. Yeah. If you can't do with your lips, you can do it with your tongue. Yeah. You go up and down your pitch range.
I took voice lessons for a little while. I only remember the warm-ups.
That's great.
Those are the important pieces.
Yeah, they are.
Cool. Totally. Well, thanks very much for, like, teaching us about speech pathology.
What a lovely time.
Really had no idea, even though it's, like, very connected to what I do as, like, a singer and stuff. So.
Yeah.
We should get our larynxes scoped out by her. That'd be cool.
Ooh, yeah, you can... Yeah. Intubate us.
Yeah.
I wouldn't go down your throat.
Oh, okay.
But I could look.
I would love to. I love seeing inside my own body. Like, I've got an ultrasound done for, like, on my pelvis, and, like, they wouldn't let me. I was like, I know that you can make a picture out of this because you do it for people's babies. Please give me a picture of my, like, ovaries, and they wouldn't. So it's pretty mad. I'm like, they're mine. I like them.
Yeah.
I also got an MRI just for fun because I signed up to be, like, control group in a study on schizophrenia. Fun. So I got the video of my MRI, and it's awesome.
So you've seen totally inside your body.
Yeah, it's great.
That's nanners.
And so I would love to watch on a scope, like...
I would too. Yeah, I was at a party last night where somebody's doing their thesis research on vaginal muscles, and so she was talking about how she's got, like, this special dildometer that, like tests your pelvic floor strength and, like, how to, like, squeeze it and how you can, like, effectively kegel and stuff, and I was like, I probably won't sign up for that one.
Dildometer, hello.
All right, well, I'll pass along your information to the person doing the study.
I really hope my dad's not listening.
Probably. Well, he might.
If you made it this far, I mean, you've heard some things, sir. You've heard some things. Gray sweatpants.
Don't wear them gray sweatpants.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Stop. All right.
Oh,
anyway,
boy.
Lots of things for people to Google this episode.
Lots of food for thought. Alana, thank you so much for being here. What
thank
a lovely
you.
Time.
Do you have any... plugs that you want to plug? Any shows coming up in the next, like, end of December-ish?
No,
you're busy with school and Christmas and shit?
I'm doing the Christmas karaoke and lights tour. I host it. It's so fun.
What's this?
Oh, you go around on a trolley. The Vancouver Trolley Company puts it on. And you do Christmas karaoke around the city.
Excuse me.
And then you go to Stanley Park and Van Dusen Gardens. And along the way, and you get to hang out in those parks for a little bit.
Let's do it.
That sounds so fun.
So fun.
Oh my God, that's great. Well, just plug that, I guess.
There you go.
Cool. Okay.
All right. And go and see a speech and language pathologist if you have any concerns about your speech, language, or voice, because I'm not an official one.
Don't take any of the official
real medical advice.
Don't put Tiger Balm in your butthole.
Don't do that. Yeah. Well,
love you guys.
Bye.
Bye.